I watched it several times, and every time I watch it, we still lose by seven. So, guys played really, really hard. We talked a lot. The effort is noticeable on film. There's some guys that possibly played their best game since we've been here, and maybe in their careers. Chris Stone had a phenomenal night. Robert Mundy played outstanding on the defensive front. Obviously, Trez Houston had a tremendous night as well. Not just catching the ball, but blocking, and effort was good. But and there were others, I'm sure. But too many mistakes to hang on to. Field position, third quarter was huge. It just the more you watch, just couldn't get things in our favor in the third quarter. Couple opportunities the defense had them behind the chains and let them get off the hook that hurt us. And then turnovers again was key on offense. So it was good football teams. You can't get away with that. Occasionally, when you're better than somebody, you'll get by with some of those mistakes. But when you got a team that's as talented as Missouri, you're not, and it costs us. And as many positives, I know it's still a taste in our mouth that we had one. We had a very good opportunity to win. Would have been huge for the program and huge for the season, and we let it slip. So we got to learn from it and move forward and find a way to get a win this week against Missouri State.
What's the official word? I know you talked about, I guess, in the teleconference this morning, but on all the injuries, whether it be Tajay Chambers or Freddie Knighton or Bo Sinemore, just report?
You know, all indications are that that Tajay's got an ACL tear. They're going to look at it a little bit more in depth, but don't expect that to be different. I mean, we're about 99% sure. We'll know for sure here soon, but he definitely is out for an extended period of time. Would expect he's out for the season unless something dramatic changes. Bo Sinemore has a break that's going to require some work. He's out 8 to 12 weeks, depending on how things heal. And he'll be fine once it heals, but we've lost him for the season as well. And so as soon as the swelling goes down, they'll do some work there and get that fixed. And we'll look to get him back in the spring and have him out in the spring. All the other guys, even Freddie. Freddie's going to have another MRI this morning, but everything looked fairly clean in terms of not being a tear, not being a bone issue, just a really significant pull, growing pull that could be it can be rehabbed in a week or two. That's what we kind of expect. So don't expect him this week. We'd like to think he'll be ready for Toledo, but don't know for sure. We'll get Tabry ready to roll. Everybody else, bumps and bruises, should be fine. Barring any other setbacks, if nothing else goes crazy this week. So. Go ahead.
With Freddie, it sounded like on the call that you guys thought Saturday night that was going to be a pretty bad.
Yeah, there was a knot, and there was in the original MRI there was some bleeding, but after they looked, they didn't find a tear. They felt like that it's something that could be rehabbed. He felt better, faster than we thought he might. I still think with his mobility being what he really lends himself and leans on, the question is how quickly can he get back to being that guy? That may take a couple weeks, but it was not torn. It was no bone issue. Both of those look like they might be possible on Saturday night.
So it was a sigh of relief, or is that?
Oh, yeah, no doubt. We expect the recovery to be a lot faster than what we were thinking when we left the field on Saturday evening.
And non-contact, run out of bounds?
Yeah, I'm not real sure how it happened. To be honest with you, I don't know how it happened.
That conversation is sort of when he was done for the night. That was what, between you, Freddie, and Walter?
Yeah, the initial comment I got was, hey, I'm not sure Freddie's going to be able to go. They were checking him out. They didn't know if it was just sometimes you'll have a pop or you'll have a pull or you'll – or even an ankle gets rolled, and after they get back over there and work on them a little bit, it kind of calms down. It didn't. It got worse. And that's when we went from not sure if we're going to have him to we're not going to have him. And, I mean, we knew the answer was for James to go in and be ready, and he knew the game plan. So it really was just how significant is it, how long is it going to last, and we didn't really know. It took a little while.
With Tajay, it kind of seemed like everybody kind of knew what that
was. Yeah, it was pretty obvious from the beginning. It was non-contact injury. He didn't get hit. It was a plant, put my foot in the ground, and the ligament popped injury. So, I was there when they were checking him, and you could just tell from listening to the doc talk in terms of how the knee responded, he was pretty clear what it was.
Now, would with Bola, were you surprised with the severity of that one?
No, I think it's an injury. I think it's a break in an area that maybe it's been broken before, and it just didn't heal properly. And so we're not going to take that chance. In the future, we're going to go ahead and have it fixed. You can see on film that it got a little bit kind of caught in an awkward position, the way he tackled and the way his body was leaning. You could tell immediately when we came off, it swole up immediately, I mean, almost triple the size. You knew that there was something significant. Now, we weren't sure if it was going to be a 3-4 week high ankle sprain or a break, but it responded real quick and blew up. You knew there was more there than just your typical ankle injury.
Does that require surgery for Sinemore?
It is, yeah. As soon as the swelling goes down, they'll do some work on it and just repair it and get him back where he should be, like I said, eight to 10 weeks. Never had anybody play 8 weeks. It's always been 10 to 12. You know, have him out there, have him ready to go in the spring. And I mean, he had a great fall camp, great summer. That's a big loss. It just is what he brings in terms of intensity and leadership and the ability to cover the field. Now, Chris Humes and Money Hunter and Cody, we still got quality players back there, but you know, he was doing a phenomenal job for us.
What are you losing Chambers
as well? Same thing. I mean, y'all saw how he played the first couple of weeks. He was doing a great job, and we're going to get Woodson back. And so we'll kind of trade one for one. I was excited about the opportunity to have them both and what kind of speed and range that was going to give us at times. But, you know, he'll keep all of his eligibility. I mean, he'll be able to medical this year and have four left to play. And I think we all see we're going to have a really good linebacker here for the next 4 years.
Sinemore, get a red shirt too?
I'd like to hope he will. Now, I mean, that's going to be up to NCAA. He played a game and a half. I'd like to think he'll get that year back. He doesn't have one available to, so it's going to have to take. He's going to have to take them deciding to give it to him, but we're going to do everything we can to do that. That's what the rule's for. I can't imagine that he wouldn't have an opportunity to get it.
Did he redshirt a year in junior college?
I think he had an injury. I think he had an injury there as well. So I mean, that's what the rule's for. There've been a lot of guys granted a 6-year. He sure seems to make sense on paper now. Don't ask me to bet on that one.
So is it a right ankle injury or left ankle? What's the official?
You would ask that question. I think it's right. He was on crutches yesterday. I think it's right ankle. Don't quote me on that, please.
Yeah.
Ask Ron.
Do you expect Blaze to be back this week?
You know, it's questionable. He's probably the guy that's the furthest away. You know, he went out and tried, and it gave out on him immediately, and it does not look to be significantly better. And so I would say he's day-to-day. He's questionable. I mean, J.D., Jamar, all those guys, they seem to be just bumps. You know, guys that were bumped and bruised up, but his ankle's still, you know, it's still not looking great. Swelling's gone down, but just no strength in it right now.
Other than playing the bulk of that second half with a different quarterback, you've been watching. Did you see anything adjustment-wise from Mizzou in the second half?
You know, they kind of just went to playing cover two and playing a four down front and letting their really good players on the edge kind of wreak havoc, and that hurt us. And we hit them with a few things, but weren't consistent enough in any. You know, they were not going to give up the big one, not going to give up the big ball over the top. We'd hurt them with verticals and fades down the perimeter. They're like, we're tired of this press coverage stuff. This isn't working. They went to, you know, playing cover two and getting up in guys' face, so took away some of those throws that we had gotten on the perimeter. And then, honestly, they just their front, their edge guys played significantly better in the second half than they did in the first, for whatever reason. Turn them loose, cut them loose, I don't know. Change what they were, you know, they'd been in some three-down stuff the first, which makes, instead of having those guys on the edge, coming off the edge, they were more covered up in the first half. They put them on the edge where they could get loose, and they gave us trouble. We had several opportunities to convert and move the chains that one guy came free here or there and just, you know, got to the backfield, and or one guy would come clean and come through on a run play that stopped them from having chances to be bigger. We just never could get off, you know, on track. It was a pretty small change, but it worked in their favor because of the talent level a couple of those guys have.
What did you think of Tabbery? I mean, now he's going to have to, you know, more than likely make the start this week. What did you think of his play, and how important was it for him to actually get out there?
Well,
to start?
game reps are, there's no other way to simulate that than get him out there. I thought it was good we got him out last week against USC. I don't like the circumstances under which we put him in this week with Freddie going down, but those are all going to make him better. The last throw he made that got picked off into the game, he put the ball right where it had to go. You know, it was a bang-bang play. Trocine had a chance to catch it, and we're going to keep moving. I mean, honestly, Freddie doesn't make that throw. Freddie doesn't have the arm strength to make that throw. That's with 7 on the clock, you got to push the ball down the field a little bit, no timeouts, and he did it. The other interception that was taken away from Dijon, ball placement wasn't real good, and I think that was the mistake that he made during the evening that I was frustrated with, because he's made that read about 100 times, you know, a day, and that's one he doesn't typically miss. But he prepares the right way. He works extremely hard. I can promise you there's nobody that it means any more to. He's in this building every day for some reason. He's not watching film. He's out there throwing balls. So, we'll find out. The offense won't change dramatically, but we'll do the things that fit him better. And I expect him to get better every rep he goes out. I think he'll calm down a little bit this week. Probably there's probably some nerves involved in that. I think a week's worth of work with the number one offense will help that too.
He put himself in this position because he won that number two job, and he won that pretty quickly in camp. What was it that you kind of just saw in spring and then through summer and whatnot that just kind of made him that clear choice?
Work ethic is one. Just the opportunity you look around, the guy's always working to get better. His arm strength has gotten significantly better since he's been here. The tempo in which he gets the ball out, he reduced his mistakes dramatically throughout the spring and summer. In fall camp, his MAs went down. He stopped turning the ball over. He was a little bit prone to do that last year, but he was the most consistent. I mean, he was the most consistent. And in that battle, and it made it pretty easy to go with him. I think we let that thing go longer than it might have, just because we were trying to be absolutely fair to Cameron to make sure that he had every opportunity to stay in the battle, and it wasn't even close.
Do you guys think his arm is probably stronger than Freddie's? You think?
Oh, it's no doubt. He's got the strongest arm on the field. So now he doesn't run as well as Freddie, so they're different kind of guys. He's going to have to be. So, he'll make some mistakes. He's a young guy. He'll make some mistakes, but it won't be for the lack of work and preparation. Freddie's a fifth-year senior, and he's made several mistakes too. So we'll live with what mistakes they are. I think he'll put the time and effort in to be ready. He's got all the skills. He's got every skill that you need him to be able to help us win football games. The thing you can't predict is – just how he's gonna process out there in the heat of the battle. I mean, in practice, he's shown he can do that. Now he's got to carry it over to game day. But that's a question at every spot that's out there.
So you guys become more of a vertical passing team now?
I think you would. He's comfortable in the pocket. I think probably would. The more and more comfortable he gets, the more you probably let him throw from the pocket. We look to move Freddie a little bit more. He's a lot more comfortable throwing from back there, but. You'll be surprised. The game plan doesn't change a whole lot. We won't design a bunch of runs for him, and there's a few design runs for Freddie, which is what he's really, really good at. But other than that, the system, there'll be run-pass options for him every snap. We'll still throw the screen and drop-back game and look for some play-action shots. And, yeah, he really is comfortable throwing the vertical ball, but we're not going to make a dramatic change in the offense, not at this point.
If you know it or not, late in the first half, you did a lot of coaching with a big smile on your face. Did you kind of get a glimpse there and start to kind of what you could have?
I had fun, man. I had fun. I love what I'm doing. The energy in this stadium was awesome. It was an electric night. I mean, you can't ask for it to be any better than that. The fans showed up in buckets. The kids were excited on the sideline, maybe a little bit too excited because they tended to travel about the hash mark every time something positive happened. It's where a flag came from. Man, I had a blast. I absolutely love what I'm doing, and I believe in this football team. I know 0-2 is not what any of us wanted, but I think we've had the toughest start in the country. I mean, nobody else has played two ranked teams 2 weeks in a row, and we got better in battle. So I'm disappointed in the loss, but, man, we were doing what I needed them to do to be in it. And I love what I get to do. And when you can see the kids responding, you've challenged them and they respond, man, that's an awesome feeling. And that's exactly what they're doing.
How about that catch by Dressuson that made the Sports Center?
Which one?
Maybe the both.
Shoot, I don't know which. I'd had trouble choosing between the two. I'm not too sure the second one wasn't tougher than the first one. But, yeah, it was a great play. Great play. And he had, like I said, one of maybe his best game. Two huge catches, which both gave us points. He blocked really well. Made a big conversion throw and catch on a third down. We were kind of backed up in a one-on-one situation against a really good player. Maybe the biggest play he made all night, which is nobody saw, was on the interception. He turned and chased and got absolutely blown up and got right back up off the ground and ended up going in and making the tackle and almost stripping the ball out. I mean, he could have quit on that play easy. So I was really proud of him. And, you know, I told him I'm going to scream at him on Thursdays more often if he's going to play that way. I got him pretty good on Thursday.
He had been on this campus for, I think, 2 years before you got here. Yeah. He hadn't really done a whole lot. I mean, what have you seen? What growth have you seen from him since you guys have got here and just kind of have to get it out of him, I guess?
Growth is, I mean, night and day from where he was when we got here. And, you know, I didn't ask the previous staff a whole lot of questions. I wanted guys to be able to be who they wanted to be. I told them all, we're starting with a clean slate. I don't care what you've done in the past. I'm going to give you a chance to change. And I think Trez is one of those guys that took advantage of that. I think he had kind of gotten himself in the doghouse with previous coaches. I thought Luke Pascal does a great job dealing with him. They're at each other's throats about half the time because they're both competitive, but he responds to it. And I think you know, I like the relationship I got with him. It's a love-hate deal. We absolutely love being around each other, but you know, I hold him accountable, and it's hard for him at times because he's a fiery guy. Like I said, I got in the middle of him on Thursday now. I was hard on him Thursday, and he responded the right way and had his best game of his career. He loves to play. You can deal with a guy like that during the week because when the lights come on, and he loves to play and he competes. I think it's one of the reasons that he's a little volatile on Saturday because it's so important to him. So I've been really proud of him, just watching him grow. You know, he graduated this summer. He got his college degree this summer, probably the first person in his family to do so. So there's just been so many positives, and I'm excited to see, you know, how he's performing right now. Well, he's definitely a guy that is on everybody's radar. Saturday obviously helped him. He played against good talent, played against an SEC caliber, you know, corner all night long. He played against a Pac-12 guy the week before, and there's enough snaps in both those games that shows his ability in that environment. I think they're looking at all of our seniors, but his name is definitely, there's a lot of conversation about him. I think both those games help his stock. His willingness to play on special teams helps his stock as well. It'd be hard not to take a look at him after the way he played Saturday night.
The first 2 weeks, when you've sat here and come in and talk about the effort level,
yeah.
Walt said after USC he thought maybe the best he'd ever seen. How big of a challenge this week is to
huge.
Make sure that's the case when it's not a nationally ranked opponent?
Huge, huge. You know, ask Auburn how hard it is to get great effort every week. You know, they got. We're going to be facing the same deal. We're physically better than Missouri State. Our guys, I'm not going to sugarcoat that. We're physically better. This is a game we're supposed to win. We're expected to win. And if we come in and we don't play hard, guess what? Anything can happen. So I don't lie to our guys. I tell them the truth. We need great effort. We got to have it every week. The challenge is to do it 12 weeks in a row. And we watch games every week where guys don't bring it, and guess what? Don't be surprised about the result. If you don't bring it, anybody can win on any given Saturday. So I spend all my time with morale and effort of this football team. I'm the head coach of effort and morale. I got offensive and defensive coaches, and I get to coach on kickoff return. That's the one thing they actually let me coach, you know, for 10 minutes on Tuesday and Thursday, but we got to get great effort. We're not talented enough to out-talent anybody all year long, even Missouri State. There's enough talent on that field. If we don't bring great effort, we are looking to get beat on any given week. So I've been real pleased. 2 weeks in a row, we've got it. And I was really pleased, even looking back a year ago, they brought effort every week. It wasn't always great execution, but they brought effort, and that's not something I take lightly. That's hard to get.
2 weeks, your offensive numbers probably aren't where you want them to be. I mean, do you chalk that up to the competition or are there overall concerns or just kind of where are you guys at?
Well, I chalk it up to obviously competition number one. Yeah, we've played two very physically sound and very good football teams. So, yeah, that's part of it. But I think turnovers and miscues have obviously been a part of it. There's more out there. I don't look at yards. I just look at points and finishing drives in the end zone. We don't want to be kicking field goals, and we need to take advantage of points. And we missed opportunities in both games against really, really good talent. Now, the matchups are going to be more in our favor from now on throughout the rest of the season, but we have some self-inflicted problems that we're working on getting fixed. But, I mean, we're not in panic mode either.
So what's Missouri State do?
Yeah, I don't know much about them yet. I've been honestly spending this morning just getting this last game. You know, I want to make sure that we got the right. We looked at special teams personnel a lot. A lot of it due to injuries. Tajay and Bo were both involved in all of our special teams. We're getting Woodson back. Spent a lot of time this morning just looking at personnel. I'll look at them all afternoon. You know, I know that just what little bit I've watched that, you know, they're going to look a lot more like us than what we've seen the first 2 weeks. I think speed is going to be in our favor. We're going to run better in most of our areas. And I'd like to think that we're going to be a little bit more dynamic. I just kind of watched the way they looked against Memphis mainly and just felt like Memphis was able to, you know, use their speed in a lot of areas. And I'm like, you know, I'd like to think we're going to be able to do the same thing.
With the effort, you know, you've said that 2 weeks in a row. I mean, is that one thing for 2 weeks that you can, like, count on and say, okay, that's what we have? Or are there other kind of specific things where you can say, okay, we can count on kind of this guy or this area? I mean,
I think there's a lot of things we can count on. I just know that's where it starts for me. If we don't come out and play hard, then the rest of it, honestly, doesn't matter a whole lot. It's about our willingness to come out and play hard and fight hard for the guy next to you and for the people that show up 60 minutes. That's where it starts for me. But there's a lot of great things happening, too. I mean, we've improved defensively, I mean, night and day from the group that we watched play a year ago. Against the run, competitive at the point of attack on throws, creating pressure. So there's a lot of things. Offensively, I think we're playing outside at wideout. I mean, maybe it's good or better. I mean, JD's healthy. Warren Juan's been a huge, bright surprise. There's a lot of positives. Special teams-wise, I think we've continued to really show that our guys are committed to playing well there, and we've kept ourselves in two games against probably better opponents because a lot of what we did in special teams. So there's a lot of positives. Just to me, it starts with our willingness to play harder than the opponent for 60 minutes. And, I've been places where we couldn't get that done, and the ability to do that 12 weeks in a row is a huge challenge.
You said you probably fill Chambers' spot with Woodson. Who do you think moves up?
Well, there's kind of two trains of thought, and I don't know if we have an answer yet. There's a three-man rotation between Woodson, Q Heath, and Kyrie Lane, and because Woodson has the ability to play Mike or Will. Or there's a 50-50 split between Woodson and Kyrie Lane, or maybe even 60-40 with Woodson and Lane at Will, and Q Heath plays most of the game at Mike, and Copeland backs him up for 15 snaps a game. I don't know that we know what the exact best formula is yet, but those are really the two options. And most of it has to do with just how much can Woodson learn and you really – not just much learn, but actually get out on the field and do effectively. If he can play both spots, it's probably a three-man rotation where we're our most dynamic. If not, then we're going to have to think more through a four-man rotation and figure out how many snaps are possible for Copeland to be effective.
What about Sennemore and who
fills his? Well, you've got a similar deal. You've got a three-man rotation back there plus some young guys. You've got Money Hunter, Chris Humes, and Cody Brown, who all are playing and honestly all playing well. The question then is, do those three guys rotate through two spots? Do we take a guy like Chauncey Mason or even Charles Grant, and they spell a guy for 10 plays, 15 plays a game. That's what we got to decide, and we got to do it pretty quickly.
Missouri State's coach, Dave Steckel, former defensive coordinator at Missouri, is very close with Gary Pinkel.
Yeah.
I know everyone has the tape, but you know, is that one of those things where, like, if coaches are close, maybe they give a little extra, maybe Pinkel and him will talk?
I'm sure they will. I mean, I would expect that they would. We would talk to guys as well. I mean, I don't – we're pretty straightforward. I don't know other than they see what we run. We haven't changed it in about 15 years, so we're pretty straightforward. I think what he'll probably tell them is – I hope he tells them those guys play really hard and get ready to hang on for dear life when you get down there in that stadium, because it's going to be packed full of a bunch of loud, crazy folks in red. So I don't know what else he'd tell them. If they picked up on anything, I would think it'd be pretty subtle.
That's not really a huge advantage.
You know, I think if we were making a lot of checks at the line, there's a lot of vocabulary that they could hear, they might pick up on something, but it's not how we operate. And we play fast enough, hopefully, or we've played fast enough in the past up to this point where it really hadn't benefited people a whole lot. Same thing on defense. We're pretty straightforward. We change things up enough that even if they picked up on some signals in terms of defensive coverages, most of that stuff changes week to week anyway. I don't know that they'd pick up a whole lot.
You go through both their tapes the same, or just one where you kind of lean on that Memphis tape more?
Well, I saw the talent level with Memphis and us is going to be a lot more consistent than the Shattern State game, or I guess that's it, right? Just in terms of speed. I just wanted to see how they matched up in space. And Memphis does a lot of things offensively that's very similar to what we do. So it's going to – you're going to see the same formations and sets. So, you know, for our defensive guys, the personnel matchups are going to be more like what we look – you know, what Memphis looks like. And for offense, the system and the speed, it tends to look a lot more like what we're going to look like.
What kind of makes them go? I mean, if they're going to have any chance, what's the key for their team?
I think we're our biggest enemy. We turn the ball over, we put them right back in it. We don't come out and play with great energy, we put them right back in it. If we don't turn the ball over and we do what we're supposed to do, you know, we're going to win this game. But if we turn the ball over, we come out, we don't play hard, then, hey, they got every opportunity to win this football game. Bring it every Saturday. That's what you got to find a way to do.
What's your feeling on the way Michael Gordon's running
right now? I mean, I think he's healthy. He's running well. When we can get him some space. I mean, we struggle to get him space at times. I was frustrated with him down on the goal line. I told him I thought he had an opportunity to knife it in. He bounced the play. His nature is to create the big play. There's some opportunities. There's some times on the field where you can't do that. There's times on the field where you got to put your foot in the ground and get north. And you know, I think he missed an opportunity to get us in the end zone. We ended up kicking a field goal. Now, we had two other plays to get it in, too, so it wasn't just that one play. But we had it blocked fairly well and an opportunity for him to get in. Other than that, he's running hard. He's protecting the football. He's blocking well in protection. I think, again, as things develop and talent level changes and matchups are better for our front, he's going to have more and more space on a weekly basis than he had the first 2 weeks.